ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena, text number 11. Udasinam evadhyaksham
Udasinam evadhyaksham
Dravya jnana kriyatmana Udastam imam atmanam Indifferent. Eva? Simply. Adhyaksham? The superintendent. Dravya? Of the physical elements. Jnana?
Knowledge acquiring senses.
Kriya?
Working senses.
Atmanam? And of the mind. Kutastam? Fixed. Imam. This. Atmanam. So. Yaha. Anyone who. Veda. Knows. Apnoti. Gets. Shovanam. All good fortune. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Anyone who knows that this material body, made of the five cross elements, the sense organs, the working senses, and the mind, is simply supervised by the fixed soul, is eligible to be liberated from material bondage. Please repeat. Anyone who knows that this material body, made of the five gross elements,
the sense organs,
the working senses,
and the mind,
is simply supervised by the fixed soul,
is eligible to be liberated
from material bondage. This verse describes how one can become liberated from material bondage. The first point is that one must know that the soul is different from his body. The soul is called Dehi, or one who possesses the body. And the material body is called Deha, or the embodiment of the soul. The body is changing at every moment, but the soul is fixed. Therefore, the soul is called Kutastam. The change of body is enacted by the reactions of the three modes of nature. One who has understood the fixed position of the soul should not be disturbed by the incoming and outgoing interactions of the modes of material nature in the form of happiness and distress. In Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna recommends that since happiness and distress come and go due to the interaction of the modes of nature on the body, one should not be disturbed by such external movements. Even though one is sometimes absorbed in such external movements, he has to learn to tolerate them. The living entity should be always indifferent to the action and reaction of the external body. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the body, made of the gross physical elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and the subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and ego, is completely different from the soul proper. One should therefore not be disturbed by the action and reaction of these eight gross and subtle material elements. The practical process to attain the stage of indifference is to execute devotional service. Only one who constantly engages in devotional service 24 hours a day can be indifferent to the action and reaction of the external body. When a man is absorbed in a particular thought, he does not hear or see any external activities, even though they are enacted in his presence. Similarly, those who are fully absorbed in devotional service do not care what is going on with the external body. That status is called samadhi. One who is actually situated in samadhi is understood to be a first-class yogi. Om Gyanar Timurandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurundan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So if you know that you're not this material body and you're the spirit soul, you are eligible for liberation. Just like there is a criteria, if you want to be eligible for a PR or for a job, there's always a criteria. So the criteria to be eligible for liberation is to understand that we are not this body, but the fixed spirit soul within the body. And this knowledge is, and this is real knowledge. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he explains the various types of knowledge, and he says in the 13th chapter, aside from all these, that's all ignorance. So knowledge means to understand what is the self, what is spirit, what is matter, and who is the controller of both. And Krishna describes that is real knowledge, to understand who are we, what is matter, what is spirit, and who is the controller of both. So this is real knowledge. Aside from this, there are also various other fields of knowledge, but from Krishna's perspective, or from the spiritual perspective, that is ignorance. But still, that kind of knowledge is also important to know, because we have to live in this world. In order to live in this world, we need to be knowledgeable about this world and the body. So, the very first teaching Krishna describes in the Gita is how we are not this body, but the spirit soul. And lack of this knowledge is the cause of all ignorance and so many problems in this world. So there's unlimited problems the world is facing. Very, very massive problems. Sociological problems, political problems, environmental problems, race problems, and the list goes on and on and on. But if we look at the root cause of all these problems, it is a lack of understanding of the true self. So because of identification with the body, because of strong identification with the body, then people are thinking that material pleasure will give us satisfaction. So, that material pleasure will give us satisfaction, and therefore everyone is chasing after those pleasures, and in the process creating so many problems. But Krishna is explaining that one needs to understand this knowledge, because this is the foundation. It's right, if someone, there's so many courses out there, like project management foundations, right? There's AWS foundations. So in the same way, this is the foundation knowledge. So, and this might be foundation for a long time for us also, because here Krishna is saying one who knows. So we might interpret this as one who knows that the soul is different to the body is eligible for liberation. So we might think, because I know, therefore I am eligible for liberation. But here when Krishna says no, from the Lord's perspective, to know means to act on that. That's the meaning of knowing something. Otherwise it is simply theoretical knowledge. But that is also good. Then that is the first step. The first step in living something is to know something. If we don't even know something, how can we live it? So the first step is to gain knowledge. So there's knowledge is of two types. There is jnana and then there is vigyan. So jnana means knowledge, to know something. And vigyan means one who has realized. So there is knowledge and then there is realized knowledge. And realized knowledge comes from applying what you have learned, right? It's like if you're looking for a job, the main thing your employer is looking for is you have big jnan, right? They don't care the jnan you have. You might have gone to a university, a TAFE, or you know, read so many books or done certifications or courses, but if you can't show that you have any experience, it is irrelevant. They don't care, and your CV is thrown out of the window or goes in the shredder. Because they are looking for applied knowledge. They are looking for someone who has experience and can apply their knowledge in that field. That's what they're looking for. So in the same way, here, when it is said one who knows, it means one who is living the philosophy. And that's what it means to know. So one who knows then is eligible for liberation. So here the nature of the soul is described, that the soul is fixed, kutastham. And the nature of the body is it is changing, right? So there are characteristics of the soul and there is characteristics of the body. So it is. We might think we've been devotees for some time, and this is very elementary knowledge. But it is important to be reminded and again, because we might not be living this knowledge. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, "Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha." Ubayor api trishto antas tav ananyos tatva darshivi. So Krishna says, those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance. And of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So the material body is always changing. We see that by the influence of time, the body is changing. We go through various phases in life, various stages in life. We are born, then we grow, we turn into a young boy or girl, then we become a young man or woman, and then we age, we have children, and then we grow old, then at some point then the body cannot sustain, then it dies. So we go through these stages, and we see other people going through these stages also. Right? We might have seen people dying, old age, and then we have gone through stages in the past. So we can see that the body is changing. And not only the body, but everything in this world is changing as well. And anything material is always changing. And change is constant. There's one thing which is constant, it's change in this world. That is very, very constant. But the soul does not change, as Krishna is describing. There's no endurance of the eternal, and there's no change for that. For the soul, there is no change. The soul is constant through all these stages one is going through. It's only the body which is changing, and the mind, intelligence, anything material is changing. But the Atma, or the soul, remains the same. And Krishna describes the nature of the soul in the 17th verse of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know what the 17th verse is? Avinashi, I'll give you a hint. Avinashi tutad viti yena sarvam idam tatam vinasham apayasyasya nakaschit kartum arhati. So Krishna says, that which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. So that is the nature of the soul. The soul is indestructible, it is imperishable, and it is very minute by nature. So the soul is very, very minute. And the dimensions are also described in the Shastras. The dimensions are... But the soul is very minute, it can fit in all kinds of bodies. And the soul is all-pervading within the body. So the energy of the soul is the consciousness, which is pervading throughout the body. And through the medium of consciousness, we can perceive various pleasures. We can perceive pain and pleasure, various kinds of distress and pleasures. We can perceive through the medium of consciousness. And this is considered to be very, very fundamental and basic knowledge from the Vedic viewpoint. And there is so much ignorance today that this basic knowledge is lacking. And if you analyze the curriculum of universities and of our education system in school, there's no lessons being imparted on this knowledge. And this is what we learn when we come to the temple, when we come to ISKCON, we learn this. So this basic knowledge, even in so many religious societies, this knowledge is not being taught, this very basic knowledge. So the foundation of current material civilization is based on the body, is based on the knowledge that we are this body, and therefore whatever makes the body happy is good, right? So everyone has a different conception of pleasure. So people say whatever makes you happy, you do that. You pursue whatever makes you happy. So when they say that, they're referring to material pleasure. Whatever makes this body happy, then that's good. So you should make that the goal of your life. But the foundations is that we are the spirit soul, and we are part and parcel of Krishna. And the soul is always, the soul stays constant and the bodies are changing. So Krishna explains, Vasamsi Janani Yatha Vihaya Navani Grinati Narograni Tatha Sharirani Vihaya Janani Anyani Samyati Navani Dehi. So as a person puts on new garments, giving up the old and useless ones, the soul similarly accepts material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So the soul, the Atma is changing bodies because of having a material conception of life. So the whole purpose of the Krishna Manjus movement is to give up the body, right? And it's not a bad thing to give up the body, but we are so attached to this body. But if we look at it, it's not a bad thing to change body. And And Krishna told Arjuna, so do not lament. If you lose this war, if you lose this war, you'll get a new body. But if you win, you go to heaven. But the change of bodies is actually good, because we might not be happy with our body. There's so many things we might not like about this body, right? And everyone will have something they don't like about it. Maybe something about their mind, or maybe their physical appearance, or some physical ability or mental ability they might not like about themselves. So change of bodies is not a bad thing. So you get a new body, a new start, right? But intelligence, real intelligence, means to is to get a spiritual body, and that is the perfection of all types of bodies, because there's no birth, death, old age, and disease, and one is always in the association of Krishna. So here, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he mentions that one has to become a dhira, right? So a dhira is one who is able to, who is not disturbed by the happiness and distresses of this body. That is dhira. So dhira tatra na muyati, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. So, and he also explains matra sparsha sukanteya sitoshna sukha dukhata agma payana sanitya stham sitikshva na bharata. So Krishna explains that the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance are like the appearance and disappearance of the summer and winter seasons. So one should not be disturbed by them. So one way to not be disturbed is to cultivate knowledge. So when we cultivate knowledge, then we understand about the nature of this world. So by understanding the nature, we can become a bit more tolerant. So Prabhupada gives the example of the wife who is cooking in the summer season. So when Prabhupada wrote in that context, there were not many air conditioners. So you know, when people were cooking, there was the rooms were not probably they were not air conditioned, and it was very 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 hot. And then you have the stove on, so it gets even hotter. Like if you go in the kitchen, sometimes I don't know about the new kitchen, but with the old kitchen, it used to get very hot. So I think the new kitchen has air conditioning, but with the old one, there was no air conditioning, and there's so many flames which are on, right? There's the burner, and it's heating up a massive pot, so it gets very hot, and there's so many devotees there, so it gets hot. But one tolerates that because one is trying to accomplish a goal, a higher objective. So then one is able to tolerate that. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying, and Krishna is saying, that one has to tolerate the dualities of this world. And the nature of this world is, it is full of dualities. So there is heat and cold, there is happiness and distress, fame and infamy. So one moment someone is praising us, then we get criticized. But one has to learn to tolerate that and not be disturbed by that. So we might think, yes, I should tolerate distress, but what about happiness? But here it is said, one should not be disturbed by happiness also, material happiness. So we can easily identify with not being disturbed by pleasure, but what's wrong with being disturbed by happiness? But it is said that if one can be disturbed by happiness and distress, because they both take one away from one's real purpose in life, which is to be focused on Krishna. So material happiness also leads to distraction, right? So for example, if someone suddenly inherits a lot of money, they might become so happy, and then they get distracted. They get absorbed in various material pleasures because that money can facilitate that. So then that takes one away from bhakti. So happiness is also a distraction, and so is distress. They both are distractions. So here Krishna is saying that one has to learn to tolerate them. And then Srila Prabhupada explains that the best way to tolerate is to be absorbed in the service of Krishna. That is the best way. So if one who is absorbed in devotional service, then they can easily tolerate the challenges which life brings. And there's so many examples of absorption of devotees on the Supreme Lord. We see in the Damodar pastime how when Krishna was stealing the butter hanging from the rafters, the Mother Yashoda and the gopis, they were churning the butter again for the Supreme Lord, for the consumption of Supreme Lord and for His pleasure. So they were churning the butter, and then they were storing it in pots. And as we know, Baby Gopala's pastimes, he would steal the butter and have it, consume it, and then share it with the monkeys and others as well. So this was the pastime of the Supreme Lord. So, and this is a very, very absorbing pastime, because generally we see people are absorbed in children, in babies, right? So when there's a baby, suddenly everyone's attention is diverted. And you can see that when you're giving a talk and there's a baby who is, you know, running around a bit agitated, then everyone's attention suddenly diverts. So children are very absorbing by nature. Babies are absorbing. So then Krishna, he gives his devotees the opportunity for Vatsalya Ras, where of parenthood, where they can be absorbed in serving him. They can take the role of parents and be absorbed in looking after him. So Mother Yashoda was churning the butter, and then, you know, she had kept some milk boiling on the stove, and then the milk the flame was on for some time, and then the milk was boiling. So she got up to turn off the heat, basically. And in the meanwhile, Krishna came and, you know, he plundered the butter. So when Mother Yashoda, she came back, she saw the Supreme Lord, you know, eating the butter and the cream. So she thought, I'll teach him a lesson. So Mother Yashoda, she bound, first she chased Krishna for a while, and then when she finally was able to catch Krishna, she bound him on a mortar, and she tried to tie him with ropes. So she tried to tie him with a rope, and then somehow she was unable, it was two fingers short, the rope was two fingers short. Then she got another rope. She tied that rope to the existing rope, and then again it was two fingers short. And that way she got all the ropes, and she was unable to tie. Then she got all the ropes from the neighborhood, and she was still unable to tie Krishna. And she was so absorbed in tying Krishna that her hair became disabled, and the flowers on her hair, they fell on the ground. But she didn't realize that, because she was very absorbed in serving Krishna, and that absorption was very pleasing to Krishna. So that absorption became very pleasing to Krishna, so much so that Krishna, he allowed Mother Yashoda to tie. So we can see that absorption in the service of the Lord is pleasing to Krishna. It's pleasing to the Lord. So one becomes absorbed in something, usually one becomes absorbed in something greater than oneself. So one has to find a cause which is greater than oneself and become absorbed in it. So absorption is through contribution, right? Contribution to something which is bigger than oneself. And we see people are absorbed in various things according to the modes of nature, and according to which the mode of nature they are situated in, they're absorbed in various causes. And we see like there are some people who are in the mode of ignorance, they are absorbed in very destructive causes. For example, some people are absorbed in carrying out terrorist acts. So yes, when one is absorbed in a cause bigger than oneself, it gives one some degree of satisfaction, right? So, a parent is absorbed in serving their family. So that is a cause bigger than themselves. And they get pleasure in doing that. And they're able to do that. They go through the motion, the work, and though even though there are some inconveniences in that activity, but it still gives one pleasure because it is a cause bigger than themselves and they absorb in it. So for a terrorist is also absorbed in a cause bigger. So some people think, okay, if I blow myself up, I will get 100 virgins in heaven or whatever. So there is a cause which is bigger than themselves and they're absorbed in it. And in the course of that activity, they create so much destruction for themselves and for others. Then there are people in the mode of passion who are absorbed in various causes. They want they're expanding their field of activities. And they try controlling different things like that. And then there are people in the mode of goodness who are also absorbed in various causes, humanitarian activities, philanthropic activities. They're absorbed in so many activities. But the question is, what type of absorption do we need? So here it is mentioned that one needs to be absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. And being absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord, it will... then one can be totally aloof from this body. So we see so many examples of acharyas who were totally absorbed. We can take the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was so absorbed in serving the Lord, and he was totally aloof from the needs of the body. Srila Prabhupada was sleeping maybe 2 or 3 hours a day. If we look at the schedule of Srila Prabhupada, his daily routine, he would go to bed around 11, wake up around 2 o'clock, 2 a.m., then translate his books for a number of hours in the dead of the night. And then he would chant his rounds, go for a walk, chant his rounds, come back, attend... greet the deities, give class, and then go about traveling and managing his so many temples and projects, guiding devotees, and he was giving talks. So this was Srila Prabhupada's routine. He was pretty much aloof from the body, and he was eating a very very little bit of food. And we even see the Goswamis, the Shat Goswamis. They lived very very austere lives. And they were practically not eating and sleeping. So we see devotees who are very advanced, who are fully absorbed in Krishna, they are totally aloof from the needs of the body. But we cannot imitate them. We cannot imitate their activities. So for us, we need to look after the needs of the body. The needs of the body need to be taken care of, because we are not on that level. In the Shastra we see some avadhuts also, right? So avadhuts, like Prahlad Maharaj, he came across the Python man. So he was absorbed in he was absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord. He was just lying on the street. Whatever came, he ate. If nice palatable foods came, he ate that. If there was no, if he was offered very austere food, he ate that. If he was not offered anything, that was fine. So there are examples of avadhuts in the Shastra who are totally aloof from their material circumstances, but they are still absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. We cannot artificially imitate such advanced devotees. So for us, we need to have a strike a balance. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he also mentions a yogi is one who is balanced in his eating, sleeping, and recreation. Right? So the balance is very important. So as devotees, we have to balance our lives. And at some point, we do focus more on one activity, then other times we focus more on the other activity. And that's what it means to balance. So for us, we cannot say that this body is Maya. And especially in the initial stages, devotees can have the tendency to think that that the needs of the body are Maya. And one has to be just focused on devotional service. But we have seen that doesn't last too long. Then soon after, they get derailed. So the needs of the body are also important. So one needs adequate level of comfort, and for each one of us that can be different. So what is comfort for one devotee could be different for someone another devotee, depending on how they've grown up and how they've been raised in their life. So that is different for everyone. So for everyone, it is different. One needs to see what is the needs of their body, and take care of those needs. So once the needs of the body are taken care of, then one can focus on Krishna conscious activities, and then one can be absorbed in spiritual activities. So if one does not take care of the needs of the body, then one cannot be absorbed. So if you are sleeping too less, then it's very difficult to be absorbed in anything. What to speak of spiritual activities? It's very difficult to be absorbed in anything. And similarly with eating, if we are eating too rich foods, then again it is difficult to be, then the consequence of that is one will sleep. The immediate consequence is one will sleep and one will get sick. So one has to balance one's eating. Not too austere, but not too opulent also. And one has to eat what is good for us. So even in prasadam, we have to be selective. We need to be selective what we're eating, otherwise we'll get sick. And then we can balance our lives. So do you have any questions or comments on this subject matter? Yes, Hare Rama.
Tell me that being absorbed into Tamil Yashoda family.
Yes.
Obviously, she's on another, she's a liberate, so she's sit up.
Yes.
So we're practicing. We do have times of absorption as well. Maybe how do you find ways to be absorbed?
How
do you find ways to be absorbed?
Okay, how do I find? What I find works for me is reading the Shastra. So when I read the Shastra, then I find myself to be more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So when I'm not reading Shastra, then my absorption in other activities, in service, becomes absorption becomes less. So like going through the motions but not really absorbed. So for me, when I read the Shastra, then it reaffirms my purpose of life, and then I'm much more focused. Otherwise, sometimes many times I'm chanting, but totally not absorbed in the chanting. So there's chanting, but mind is totally somewhere else. And or even sometimes doing service, but the mind is not there. So when I read Shastra, then immediately, for some time at least, then I see that I try to focus more and become more absorbed. And when we are absorbed, the benefit we get is far more. And that's the problem, is we are not focused. So we are not focused on anything. So when we are at work, we are thinking about home. And when you are at home, you are thinking about work. So we are totally not absorbed in anything. So, and when we are doing one service, we are thinking about something else. And when we are rendering service, we are thinking, what will I do maybe later, or what else should I be doing? So, and for everyone it could be different. That's what works for me. Because you asked that question, what works for me? So reading Shastra makes me more absorbed in everything else I do. And it inspires me to do more service. So then I try to do more of that. Any other questions?
We hear about this process that we should be absorbed, and we need to be couples as well. How do we develop determination? So the knowledge is there, but sometimes it's lack of determination which doesn't allow us to be absorbed, if we have to know Shastra as well. So we know the right things to do, but sometimes there's no determination to do the right things in this consciousness. So how do we do that so that we get more absorbed?
So determination comes from associating with devotees who are determined. So that's one way to get determination. To associate with those who have a level of determination which is much higher than ourselves. So when we associate with them, then it will naturally rub off on us. Then our other point is to live a pure life. Because in the 7th chapter, Krishna explains that because of sinful activities, that determination is lacking. So the more pure life we live, the more we try to live a clean life and be very Krishna conscious, follow the four regulative principles, then that determination will also arise in oneself. And then again, earlier point is to find a mentor. Just like in the professional circle, people always want to be with others who are better than them, right? And then they can learn something from them. So to find some devotees who we are inspired by, and then to associate with them and do service with them, then one will gain that determination. Any comment or question or correction? We're missing Mahaprabhu. Where is he? Is he in Melbourne?
I need to find Krishna consciousness.
To be conscious of Krishna. It's Krishna consciousness. To be aware of Krishna. You tell me. What is Krishna consciousness to you?
Yeah, remembering Krishna.
Okay. All right. So, if you don't have any questions, the comments will end here. Thank you for your time, attention, and presence. Prabhupada ki jai.